I'm preaching from the 16th chapter of Romans this morning. I'm going to read the first several scriptures. I'm going to read through verse 16 of Romans chapter 1. There are a lot of names, as you will recognize, in this text this morning. I'm going to do my dead level best to pronounce them correctly. But if my tongue gets tied, then you'll just have to forgive me for pronouncing some of these unfamiliar names that the Lord surrounded Paul with in his ministry. This chapter takes a break away from Paul's usual mode of writing. For the first, for the bulk of Romans, he is concerned about laying down, explaining the gospel of God. And he covers every aspect of it, from A to Z. There is not a stone left unturned that Paul doesn't touch when he explains the gospel of God. He even goes back into eternity past and touches on how the gospel of God was formulated in eternity past by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And then he shows how the gospel is related presently in this time. And then he talks about how the gospel is related in eternity future as well. So Paul does a wonderful job of explaining, laying out for us the gospel of God, and then admonishing us to preach and teach the gospel of God. But in this section, he is coming to a close of this epistle. And he feels like that he is obviously inspired by the Holy Spirit to call attention to the hundreds of people that the Lord has placed around Paul to help him in his ministry. And so Paul wants to acknowledge these individuals. He wants to acknowledge them so that they will be encouraged. He wants to acknowledge them so that it will remind them that the work they are doing is not going unnoticed. And also, he wants to acknowledge them in order to remind them that the work of the kingdom of God is much bigger than just one or two individuals. Paul gets a lot of attention because he was used in a very dynamic way by God to spread the gospel to the parts of the world that was known in that time. But for us to think that Paul was a lone ranger, that he was a solitary man, would be a grave mistake and would be a gross misunderstanding of how the Lord operates and how the Lord works in building up His kingdom. So you will notice in these verses that I read to you that there is no, quote, big name that Paul acknowledges. But it's a bunch of, obviously, people who are low-key, people who are probably unaware that they have played such a key part in not only the gospel that was written to Rome, but the kingdom that has been built by the Lord using them as an instrument of righteousness. And so I want to read this text and then think about the blessings that are to those who are involved in the kingdom's work. So let's read here in chapter 16, verse 1. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church which is in Cenchrea, that ye receive her in the Lord as become a saints, and that you assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succorer of many and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. And likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphras, who is the firstfruits of Achaia unto Christ. And greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. And greet Amplis, my beloved in the Lord. Salute Urbane, our helper in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. Salute Apelles, approved in Christ. Salute them which are of Aristobulus' household. Salute Herodion, my kinsman. Greet them that be of the household of Narcissus, which are in the Lord. Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved Persis, which labored much in the Lord. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Salute Asyncritus, Philegon, Hermas, Patrobas, Hermes, and the brethren which are with them. Salute Philologus and Julia, Nereus and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints which are with them. Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. So you immediately realize our text this morning is a bit unusual. It doesn't deal with any doctrine whatsoever, nor does it bring out a problem that the church is dealing with either, which is Paul's sort of modus of operandi. But it's a passage of scriptures we have just read that has as its focus personal commendations. Paul lists a number of individuals in this verse to spotlight them, not to draw attention to them, but to draw attention that God has used them in a very helpful and necessary way to the church at large, but specifically with Paul's own ministry. Now, he draws attention to these men and women in this particular passage, not trying to rob God of his glory. You know, that can be done, and you and I need to be careful that we don't rob God of his glory. If someone pays us a compliment for doing the work of the Lord, we should be careful not to receive that as a personal compliment, but we should be careful to receive that as that individual acknowledging that God is using you in his kingdom work. And for that, we indeed should be grateful. So some of the ones that he commends in this passage, they're familiar. Others are not. You probably recognize a name or two because you've read throughout the Bible and they are mentioned throughout the Bible more than once. Some of them he spends a little time explaining their contribution to the ministry. Others he just mentions them by name and says they were of help to me. However, all of them who are mentioned, all have a permanent record in the Bible. Isn't it interesting? For example, Rufus in verse 13. He simply says, "Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, no name given, and mine." So here's an individual that has a perpetual recognition in the Holy Scriptures, just by name only. But you and I know that if the Holy Ghost saw fit to include Rufus's name in Holy Scripture, that there is a detailed record of his help in glory, which shall be revealed one day. So here is a list of individuals. So what I want to do with this list is I just want to highlight three or four that are in the passage. And I want to start with number one, Phoebe, in verses 1-2. Now, what we know about Phoebe is that her name is a derivative of the Greek god Apollo. Phoebus would have been the name that had been recognized and associated with Apollo. So here is an individual whom the Lord saved, brought to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But the name of that individual is of a god, a little g, of the Roman culture, Apollos. Now you would think that an individual like that would probably want to change their name. I don't want to be known as a false god, of the god of the Greeks, Apollos. But Phoebe did not. She kept her name that was given to her, and I'm sure she used that as an opportunity to witness to individuals when they brought up her name as well. She is considered to be a servant of the church which is in Cenchrea. Now, Cenchrea is in the area of Corinth. Paul spent some time there on his second missionary journey, as you remember, and then wrote two letters to Corinth, 1 and 2 Corinthians. But here Phoebe is mentioned not just as a member of that church, but as a servant of the church. And yes, that word servant is the same word that is used to describe deacons in the Bible. Diakon is the word that is used here. And so Phoebe was in an appointed role by the church to be a servant, to be a help to those individuals. And it wasn't uncommon for women. We see no mention of Phoebe's husband here, so we believe she was never married or she is now a widow. So she is in the office of a deacon, a helper, either by being married to a man who was set aside for that ministry, and the man and the woman then being a team to serve as deacons in the church. But now the husband's gone, but she's still recognized as a helper, as a deaconess in the church. The office of the deacon was not an office of authority. There was no teaching that was involved. There was no lording over the congregation that was involved either. It was simply set aside to meet physical needs of the congregation. Some of those needs that were met by women were to minister to the poor and to the needy. Make sure they have food to eat. Make sure they have clothes to wear. And women have a natural expertise in that area. Thank the Lord for that. But also, she could have been appointed to meet the needs of the younger women in the congregation. Older women were given the responsibility of showing the ropes to the younger gals. They've been around the block or two. Now they've got some wisdom to share about how to be a mother and how to be a wife, how to rear your children, how to do your chores around the house as well. And so she was recognized as one that could take a young mother under her wing and mentor her into a godly servant. So there has been some discussion of late about should women be ordained as deacons. And my take on that, my understanding of the scriptures is no, not individually. Now, they can certainly serve alongside their husband in that role. But there are things within the church that only women can do, and they do it best. And for the church to not recognize that is a terrible mistake. I mean, women can be set aside for specific purposes like that. But the office of deacon has changed a lot since the first century to today. Most churches use the office of a deacon today as an authoritative position, a position that an individual in that position helps make major decisions for the church and for its ministry and for its direction. And so if the office of deacon is that, which it isn't, that's the office of the elder, should be the one doing that. But since the office of deacon does include those responsibilities, I would not be in favor of ordaining women as deaconesses today. But if we went back to the first century, where the office of deacon was a servant, he or she met the needs of the congregation of the church, then I'm all for setting women aside for that particular purpose. Have no problem with that whatsoever. But Phoebe here is recognized as a servant of the church, which is in Cenchrea. Now, he goes on in verse 2 to mention that she not only helped in the church there. But she has contributed in other ways as well. Verse 2, that you receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that you assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a great help, a succor of many, and of myself also. We read in from this verse that Phoebe now is the one who was given the copy of the letter to Romans and tasked with the responsibility to go to Rome and deliver this letter to the church. I think that's a huge responsibility. And I think it was given to a woman who had earned the trust of the Church of Jesus Christ because of her devotion to the Lord and because of her great help. The reason that is implied through this text is Paul commends them to receive her in the Lord. So she's going to appear to them. Here is a woman carrying passages of Scripture that Paul has written and delivering that to the Church of Jesus Christ. If anyone would look down upon a woman for fulfilling that particular role, then God have mercy on them because of that. That's certainly not a strike against women at all. But here the Lord chose a woman, a faithful servant of the church, to be the conduit through which he would deliver this gospel letter to the church at Rome. I think that is profound. And thank the Lord for Phoebe. And thank the Lord for Phoebes today who serve in her role as well. The second one I want to point out is found in verses 3 through 5, and that is Priscilla and Aquila. Paul seems to be highlighting women in this particular text. And I'm so thankful for it because Paul has been beat up over the years about being a male chauvinist pig who doesn't really care for women. And the reason he has taken such lumps and such beatings is because of his writings about the roles in the family. The husband should be the spiritual leader. The wife should be the helpmate, as he writes in Ephesians chapter 5. Well, here now he is lifting up women whom the Lord has used in order to help him personally, but to the church at large as well. And he mentions a couple. And he mentions the woman first, Priscilla and Aquila. I think that was done by design, on purpose, for the church to know the worth and the value of women in the ministry. Now, Priscilla and Aquila, they are mentioned throughout the book of Acts. Acts chapter 18 makes specific mention of them. They were original residents of Rome, but then they fled Rome because of the edict of Claudius, the emperor, who was persecuting Christians in Rome. So they flee Rome. They end up in Corinth. And in Corinth, they hook up with Paul the apostle. And then through this original meeting with Paul the apostle, their bond is created between them that never dies, that never wanes after that. And then from Corinth, they follow Paul to Ephesus. And Paul stayed at Ephesus longer than anywhere he ever stayed, somewhere between 3 and 3.5 years. And they were there with him, laboring side by side in the Word, training the church, meeting the needs of the congregation, and watching the Church of Jesus Christ grow in Ephesus. So they were a tremendous help to him there. We're not told how they were a tremendous help, but Paul says they were a tremendous help to me. But they also risk their lives for Paul's sake. Verse 4 says, "For who have for my life laid down their own necks." We're not told of what this episode is. We don't know how they risked their life for Paul's sake. Paul just simply mentions it in passing because this story is pretty common to those to whom he is writing. But since we're several centuries removed from that. We don't know that story. It's not common to us. So when you get to heaven, you look up Priscilla and Aquila and say, hey, tell me about that time you saved Paul's neck. And I'm sure they will be happy to tell you how the Lord used them to deliver Paul from death. But we don't know that, but we know that they risked their lives for Paul's sake. Now, what kind of a man, what kind of a woman would literally put their neck on the chopping block for another man? A bold, a courageous man and woman. One who loves Christ more than they love their own life. And so Paul commends Priscilla and Aquila for that. But then also in Priscilla and Aquila, in the last part of verse 4, they are commended because they use their home as a gathering place for the church in Rome, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. So here is an individual, a couple, Aquila and Priscilla, or Priscilla and Aquila, who have the means by which to facilitate a gathering of the saints in their home. Now, isn't that a novel idea? The Lord blesses me with a house to live in so that I'm protected from the elements, so that I can have a place to raise my family. But who would ever think, who would ever consider to be part of their first thoughts that God is going to give me a home so that it can be a meeting place for Christians? Maybe that needs to be figured in to our way of thinking nowadays as well. Priscilla and Aquila set the example. They had a house to live in. They thought they could be a better steward of that house that God had blessed them with if they would use it for the gathering of the saints. We use it for other gatherings as well. Why not use it for the gathering of the saints? So they were commended for their bravery and for their great hospitality. Now the next one that I want to call attention to is in verse 5. That is right after he talks about Aquila and Priscilla. And this is a gentleman whose name is Epaphnutus, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. Paul mentions this individual as being the first convert in his first missionary journey. If you can picture in your mind where Turkey is today, the nation that we call Turkey, that would have been Asia Minor, where Paul spent the large part of his first missionary trip. So he started in Jerusalem, came up, made the bend, and goes into the area now, modern-day Turkey, of Asia Minor. That was his first trip. Then when he was through, he came back to Jerusalem. So not nearly as far as his second and third missionary journeys. But in that journey, many churches were founded. Many were called to faith in Christ. But Paul points out the first convert of Achaia or Asia Minor unto Christ. He acknowledges the faithfulness of one whom the Lord first saved in this Asia Minor area, who is still serving the Lord, and now who finds himself in Rome, which was the epicenter of the population at that time. Why has he moved to Rome? We can only speculate. But my guess is that he wanted to go to a place where there was a lot of people so that he could witness and preach to a lot of people. So here he now is in the service of the Church of Rome, still serving the Lord. The first one that came to faith, and he is still faithfully going on. He has commended by Paul. And then the last one I want to commendation to is Mary. Mary is mentioned in verse 6. It just simply says, greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. We don't know who Mary is. There were many Marys in the Bible. This is certainly not Mary, the mother of Jesus. What would she be doing in Rome? And how did she get there? And if it would have been Mary, the mother of Jesus, Paul would have acknowledged her as that one. No, this is a convert named Mary who is known simply for bestowing much labor on us. That's all she's known for. But what a big addition she was to Paul's ministry, because he called her out and wanted her to be acknowledged. She worked hard. She wanted no recognition whatsoever. But yet, the Holy Ghost saw fit that she deserved recognition and inspired Paul to write these few words about Mary as one who bestowed much labor on us. Now, brothers and sisters, every one of these individuals that are highlighted in Romans chapter 16, not only are their names written in the 16th chapter of Romans, but their name is also written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now you can rest assured that if the Holy Ghost was so particular about acknowledging, commending these individuals who surrounded the work of the Apostle Paul so that their names would be included forever in the Holy Scriptures, you can rest assured there's another record of Mary in heaven. And there's another record of Priscilla and Aquila in heaven, and another record of Phoebe as well, as well as the first convert in Asia Minor. God is taking note of everything that every Christian does in the kingdom work. There's no such thing as your work for Christ going unnoticed nor unrewarded. When we get to glory one day, that will be the basis of our rejoicing, of our praise and our glory, because of all these little things that nobody knows anything about. God used them in a significant way to build His kingdom, and He will certainly repay you for that. Not because you earned it, but because you were obedient and you were yielding to Him to be used as an instrument of righteousness. And then one day, every person in this room, although our names are not found written in this book, our names are written in another book. And on that day, the Lord God Himself will recall every single work that you and I have done and will reward us accordingly because of His gracious work. But I don't want to wait until that one day. I want to pass out some commendations to the Church of Grace Bible Church here today. I want to take the lead of the Apostle Paul. Now that we have a lead-in to it, we're reading a passage where Paul is doing it, I think it's appropriate for me as the pastor of this church to acknowledge individuals in this church for your help as well. Now, I can't write books about every one of you and read about it, but I can call your name and I can call attention to some of the things that you have done as a member of Grace Bible Church in hopes that it will encourage you. Now, I don't want to call you out or put any spotlight on you. I don't want you to be embarrassed, but I just want you to be acknowledged for the work that you were doing. So let me start with the people who help us with our offering. You know, we use some children. We use Maddox and Layla, who are not here today. Ella is in the nursery with her baby sister. Sophia has helped on an occasion as well. Connor and Kenny has helped with the offering. Neil and Jason I've called upon a couple of times. I think they've even asked Chris to help a time or two as well. So I just want to say thank you for volunteering to do something that is, in our way of looking at things, just small and insignificant, but it's still a part of the work of the ministry. So thank you guys and gals for helping out with that. Tremendous help. Who cleans the church building? Does anybody know? There's a few of us. I'd like to recognize them as well. So Brad and Sandra, they're the ones who vacuum the floors to keep churches straight. And then there's Chris and Jerry. And then there's Tim and Kelly that help as well. And is there anyone else besides y'all six that are doing some of the work? Okay. Now, if you'd like to be included in that work, you can get a hold of Brad or Tim or Chris, and they'll put you on the list. But they voluntarily come and clean the church, I don't know what, once a week or once every other week or whenever it's needed or something like that. So I really just want to thank you all for doing that. And the reason I ask that question, who cleans the church, is because that's probably what a lot of people are thinking. Who vacuums the floors around here? Who does all this stuff? Well, I just want to commend Brad and Sandra and Chris and Jerry and Tim and Kelly for doing that. We sure appreciate it. And thank you for doing such a good job. And then who gets here and opens the door first thing in the morning and makes a pot of coffee and gets the lights turned on and things going? Well, that's Neil and Brenda. They're the first ones here. 99.99% of the time, they're the first ones here. I have beat them maybe once or twice in the 3 or 4 years we've been coming here. But it's very rare for me to be the first church in the parking lot. But there's Neil and Brenda being the first ones to come and open the door and put a pot of coffee on and make sure everything is going well. And then when it snows, we normally have someone who will blade the parking lot. But a couple of weeks ago, we had an unexpected snow come about. We get to the church. And the parking, this part up here has got salt spread on it and the sidewalk is scooped off. And then even the parking lanes have been scooped off. And that was Chris Shaw doing that. And he's one of the guys that will fix the toilet when the toilet's not working or come and put some salt down and what have you. So he's one of the guys that's been helped. Neil is also one of the guys we've called upon to help us with things around the church. We had a trouble with the heater in the baptistry, and instead of spending gobs of money to replace that heater, we found a way to order a remote heater that we can put in, but we needed a plug put in. And so we called our electrician, Neil, and he came and ran a plug in so that we can use for the little temporary heater there. And he did that for us, and we thank the Lord for guys like Chris and Neil who can fix things here in the church, and we sure do appreciate it. And then our nursery workers, oh my goodness, if I think the biggest crown in heaven will be to nursery workers, I really do. It is such an important ministry. It's not easy at all, but Sandy is back there, Chelsea, Candace, Kenny and Mindy, Julie, Kelly, Mia, Callie, Ava, Lily, am I missing anybody? If you've worked in the nursery, thank you so much. I tried to think of as many as I could. And if you are not working in the nursery, you want to go and stay with some children during the service, then see Sandy. She'll be happy to put you on the list for that as well. We have two wonderful ladies who play the piano for us so that we can sing songs. And we want to thank the Lord for Sandy and Brenda for helping us in our song service as well. And then we have two who help lead the music, and that's Julie, who does the bulk of it. But Neil is there when he's called upon to help lead the music as well. And then a job that most of y'all probably don't think of hardly at all, but it's a very key job, that is being the treasurer of the church. And most of you probably don't know that Brad Wills does that. It's a job that goes unnoticed. No one knows what's going on, but it's a big undertaking. And we just thank the Lord for Brad Wills and the good job he does as being our church treasurer. Then we have some sound equipment back there that needs a little bit of monitoring. And so Brad does that. Josh, my son-in-law. Caleb done it on a time or two. Kenny has volunteered to be trained in that as well. So we've got guys who are pitching in to help out with our sound equipment. We certainly thank the Lord for that. And then we have a couple of teachers in the church. One very important part of that is Kim Wyman. Kim is here teaching the children when they come. There are some Sundays when we don't have children, but there are other Sundays we have one, and Kim's in there whether we have one or whether we have five or six. But she does a wonderful job teaching the children. And thank you, Kim, for doing that. And then Grace Bible Church has something akin with Epaphroditus, verse 5, the first convert in Achaia. We have a couple of members of this church who have been with the church from the beginning. And Roberta is certainly one of those. And then Don is certainly another one as well. Now, Tim, were any of the kids born when y'all were part of that as well? Yeah, so I guess, yes. So by association, you and Julie and Brad were part of it as well. But you wouldn't be here had it not been for Roberta, though. So. And not only are Roberta and Don some of the first members of this church, but they have stuck with it throughout the years, 40-some years, and they continue to be a great model of faithfulness to us. And I just thank the Lord from the bottom of my heart for Don and Roberta and their faithfulness. What a great example you all are to us. So continue doing that. And then I want to just say a word generally to every member here of the church. Faithful members. You come Sunday after Sunday. Sometimes you're hindered. You're not able to be here, but week in and week out, you are here to worship the Lord. And you don't realize just how much of an encouragement you are to others around you. When they see that, you know, we got people driving from Mount Vernon and north of Mount Vernon to come to church as well. We got people that drive all the way over in Ziegler. Is that where you all live? What was that?
Royalton.
Yeah, all the way over in Royalton who come as well. And we got some local folks. And then Hannah drives from Marion. Pretty good little jog as well. But all of that is just a great encouragement to one another. And it's a great encouragement to me as your pastor as well. And I want to publicly say thank the Lord for each and every one of you and for each thing that you're doing here at the church. It doesn't go unnoticed.
What's it?
Well,
3 years that I've been here, you missed one Sunday. You're every Sunday, rain, shine, snow, sleep.
Yeah.
And teach Sunday school class, and you preach to us, and you share the word of God. So
well,
we'd like to thank you.
Well, thank you. It's my pleasure. I appreciate that, and thank the Lord for the opportunity to do those things that you have mentioned. It's a great blessing. So we've got a pretty good thing going here, you know, as far as the church is concerned. As far as I know, there are no major problems that we have to address. I think we're all on the same page theologically, which a lot of churches struggle with. We're on the same page as far as what the vision of the church is. We want to be a group of individuals who love the Lord and love our neighbor first and foremost. And I just thank God for this church. Thank you for every contribution you have made to the kingdom's work through this as well. And hopefully, this commendation service will encourage you and strengthen you to do more and not just sit back and say, well, I've done quite a bit, but let's do more. Let's do more. And let's continue to serve the Lord and have His glory first and foremost at stake. So thank you. Let's pray. Our Father, we are so grateful for the congregation you have assembled here that we call Grace Bible Church. And we're thankful how you have gifted each individual in various ways in order that this church might function. We are certainly appreciative of all the godly women that you have placed in this congregation to serve as examples of women of God and the help that they give to each other and to one another. We appreciate that. Thank you for the godly men that you have placed in this church as well. Men who love you and want to serve you, and men who understand the gospel, men who are willing to be witnesses for the Lord, and men who are willing to pay the price for serving Christ. Thank you for them. And then for the families that are part of this congregation, we pray that your good hand would rest upon them as they seek to rear their children in the fear and admonition of the Lord, hoping and praying that they'll come to know Christ as their Lord and Savior, and that then they will be trained to love you and serve you individually, but also in a congregation, if not this one, then one that you will lead them to when and if they leave this area. But most importantly, Lord, we are thankful for you saving us from our sins, for your Son dying in our place, and for the Holy Ghost calling us to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and giving us day in and day out the desire and the power to love you and to serve you. It is our privilege to be part of this congregation. We thank you for it. We pray, Lord, that you would use us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ in this area. And in doing so, we pray that folks would be saved and that Christians in this area would be strengthened. And we ask, Lord, that you would add to our number here numerically. We would love to see more people gathering on Sunday to study the Bible. More people gathering together on Sunday to worship you through singing and through praying and through Christian fellowship and offerings and all of that, so that your name would be praised more, that your glory would be heightened, your glory would expand in this area. So, Lord, we ask that you would do these things for Jesus' sake, for his glory and his honor. Amen and amen.